Weber. Council may approach. And the next case is Weber versus Weber. Good morning.
Good morning, judges, chief judge. May it please the court, my name is Travis Spear. I'm here on behalf of Gregory Weber, who was the plaintiff in a workers' compensation claim that gave rise to this appeal, where he is now the appellant. Mr. Weber was injured as a result of a fireworks explosion. He is employed and was employed as a relocation specialist. Just to give a very brief background and try not to get bogged down in the background facts. He was the type of relocation specialist that was called white glove service, meaning his job was not only to drive a semi-truck and move household goods, but also to go into the homes and package these materials, load them on the truck, store them in a warehouse from time to time when the delivery didn't need to be made immediately, and then do whatever was necessary to get the family unpacked, right down to swapping out the hose on the dryer if necessary. As part of this employment, all of his work, his DOT number, his only authority to drive that semi-truck was through Mayflower Van Lines, who was on the national level, the vendor, who would these customers would book, and their business was implemented by local state-by-state agencies, one of which, and the one with whom Mr. Weber did the most amount of business, was the agency located at 80th and J Street in Omaha, Select Van and Storage, where the accident in this case occurred. On the day in question, Mr. Weber had logged into his hours of service, traveled from his base of operations in Lincoln to the warehouse. That day, he needed to make sure that all of the goods had been loaded out of the warehouse into his trailer, and then he was going to hook up to his trailer and go. In the course of doing so, Mr. Weber saw the warehouse manager, Dave Tilley, who he had a past relationship with through their business relationship only, and decided that he needed to show Mr. Tilley a firework based on prior conversations they'd had about fireworks use, his understanding of prior fireworks use at that facility, and the general boys will be boys, oh, you've had loud ones, well, I've got a louder one. That's the reason he gets the firework. As he's going with Mr. Tilley, the warehouse manager, the person who testified, he is in charge of that warehouse. They walk through the warehouse exactly where they needed to be, when he needed to be there to accomplish his job, and while doing so, he offers to Mr. Tilley to light the firework. Mr. Tilley declines. In fact, Mr. Tilley said, he didn't want to light it, but if you want to light it, you go right ahead. And this is Mr. Tilley, the guy who says, I'm in charge of that warehouse, and I'm in charge of Mr. Weber when he's in that warehouse. You go ahead and light it. That was Tilley's testimony at page 90 of the trial transcript. Mr. Weber does. Unfortunately, this legal firework explodes in his hand. Testimony is undisputed that the deviation from the very specific purpose of walking to the trailer was no more than a 10-second deviation. He was still in the warehouse right where he needed to be. Trial court made a critical legal error in not analyzing this as a horseplay case. The law in workers' compensation recognizes that even the best employees during the course of a 40-hour work week are not going to be doing the very specific task their employer instructed them to do, plugging a screw into a widget for 100% of that time. Even the best people. Human nature is that distractions come up, but we believe these laws are here to make sure people's medical bills are paid lost income so they can provide for their families. So if your attention is deviated for a moment, or you pursue a personal pursuit for a moment, we're not going to kick you out on the street and say you're not covered when you've purchased this insurance coverage. And that's what's happened here.
It really comes down to whether lighting the firework was a substantial or insubstantial deviation from his work.
That's on the whether the Varela case and the horseplay analysis applies, yes. That's the point. And from Mr. Weber's perspective, Varela controls this case. This case is factually indistinguishable from Varela.
Assuming you get to the fact that this may have occurred in his employment, right? First, you have to determine if it arose out of his employment.
Well, I believe that horseplay is a way of meeting that burden of proof. It's an exception to the requirement otherwise under arising out of employment that it's need to be shown that you were there, that your injury arose out of an employment purpose or a neutral purpose that met that qualified and was not due to a personal risk.
So you're saying horseplay may keep it within the scope of of employment?
It would, yes, it would keep him within the, it would get him over the hurdle of proving it or his injuries arose out of and in the course and scope of his employment. Proving that, the law says, hey, you know what, sometimes injuries resulting from horseplay are going to be compensable. It doesn't say they mean you're within the course of your employment or that'll get you past the arising out of employment element. It says if you have an injury as a result of compensable horseplay, if injuries from horseplay can be compensable, and compensable means we've jumped the liability hurdles, we now are talking about what are your damages. And so that's what Varela says. And Varela gives us the four factors that we need to consider in a horseplay analysis. And those all are based on the duration of the deviation from your performance of your job duties, and then the significance of that there be a significant risk of injury, or that the incident was a trifling matter in its intention by the two employees. In this case, we believe all the elements of horseplay were met had the court chose to analyze the case under the horseplay analysis, and the court didn't do so. That's why we think it erred as a matter of law on that point.
If we would agree with you, do we have to send it back for a determination?
I don't believe this court needs to remand for a reconsideration of the issue because the facts involved and the facts as relevant to the horseplay analysis are all agreed upon and we're not really materially in dispute at the trial court level. I believe this court can reverse with instructions that this was compensable horseplay. Judge, all you need to do now is determine the average of the wage issue, and the parties had stipulated to the remainder of the award that Mr. Weber would have been entitled to. And that would be the request for relief. The only argument I could see that Varela shouldn't apply to this case that was advanced by the appellee was that this incident didn't find its origin in work-related banter or some work-related origin, as the Court of Appeals noted in Varela. But I would note first that when the Supreme Court adopted the Larson's rule for horseplay in Varela, it did not make an element of a horseplay claim that the horseplay had to have some element of an employment origin in order to qualify as compensable horseplay. And that makes perfect sense because otherwise, to prove that we have a compensable injury arising out of employment, it's incumbent upon the plaintiff to prove there is an employment based origin for the risk he encountered. That's the rule. Horseplay is the exception to the rule. So to add in the rule to the exception basically makes the exception pointless and meaningless. But even if we do have to have a work-related basis to get for the horseplay, or it has to arise out of its origin has to come from a work-related place, what I would suggest is this all occurred because of a business relationship. Mr. Weber was a sole proprietor. We stipulated to it. As a sole proprietor, his job and his employment purpose is not limited to walking across this warehouse and getting that trailer, making sure it's loaded, and driving off. He is responsible for promoting his business, for developing relationships with the companies and the individuals who make him money. The only reason he had any relationship whatsoever with anybody at Select Van and Storage was his business relationship, because that's the agent of Mayflower through which most of his business was generated. And a lot of his loads were in that warehouse. And what do you do when you're working in a business and you want to make sure you've developed rapport with the people you're working with? You find common ground. He had common ground with Dave Tilley. They both appreciated fireworks. And so he had a firework only because he has a business relationship with Dave Tilley. Dave Tilley and him have become good acquaintances because of their mutual appreciation of fireworks. He didn't bring it there for a personal purpose. A personal purpose would have been, hey, I'm at this truck stop. I want to see how loud this firework is. I'm all by myself. I'm going to entertain myself. I would challenge the appellee to distinguish how that's a personal purpose when the only reason he had it was because of a business relationship only he had with Dave Tilley, who runs the warehouse through which most of his business profits operate.
Before you run out of time, did the trial court also make a finding of negligence on the part of your client?
The trial court did also reach the willful negligence issue.
Okay, and so how does that interplay with the horseplay exception, if you will?
Well, I think that part of the horseplay analysis and the arising out of employment analysis has to do with properly defining what constitutes an employment risk. And in doing that, you're looking at the customs of a workplace, the custom of the employment. Well, if the trial judge has improperly, narrowly defined what constitutes an employment custom, then it can't properly look at what's willfully negligent with negligence within that place of business. For example, if I'm a librarian and I behave in the way that a construction worker might at my place of work, some of that behavior might be considered willfully negligent in a library, but it wouldn't necessarily, the same behavior wouldn't be considered willfully negligent on a construction site. The judge shouldn't have gotten to the issue because the case was disposed of on its merits when he said there was no injury arising out of in the course of employment. The judge did not identify the law he was supposed to apply on willful negligence, and he did not analyze at all the requirement that he had to make a finding there was a consciousness injury would probably result that Mr. Weber held. And all of the evidence confirmed that Mr. Weber had been lighting $3,000 to $5,000 of fireworks off for the last 30 years and never been hurt. He had no capacity to form a consciousness he was going to injure himself when he let the firework off. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jennifer Caswell, and I'm from Baylor Ebnen. I represent the appellees in this case. I think the first thing that I want to impress upon this court is that Mr. Weber is asking this court to send a message that bringing a firework into a warehouse and lighting it is a compensable activity which arises out of his employment. And this is simply a bridge too far. The line has already been drawn, and the test is there in Simon for what arises out of employment. And appellant is asking you to blur that line. So if that line is blurred, then is it going to be permissible for an employee to bring a firework and light it in an office building, and bring a firework and light it in a production facility or a retail store?
Can I ask you, do you agree with the appellant that whether or not this was a horseplay case is a question of law?
Well, I'm not sure we even get to the horseplay analysis, and the reason is I think the appropriate test is Simon, and as Judge Bishop correctly stated, if you don't have an employment connection and it's a completely personal activity which Judge Coe found, then I don't know that you reach Varela. But if you're talking about horseplay and the Varela analysis, I do think that's a legal analysis. I think some of the problem that I have with what the appellant stated to all of you is that the facts in this case were undisputed. I don't think that's true at all. I think that if you read through Judge Coe's order, you'll see that he talks about the testimony of the plaintiff about him creating this relationship or bringing the firework because he wanted to foster some kind of relationship with Mr. Tilley. I think the court simply found that wasn't credible. And in doing so, the court cited this GoFundMe page that the plaintiff had continued to update over the course of the year after his injury, which indicated that he was injured inspecting fireworks, which the appellant conceded on cross-examination was simply not true. And I think by doing that, what the court is saying is, and the court ultimately concluded, is I find this to be completely personal. His actions were completely personal in nature and had no employment connection. So to say that the facts weren't disputed, I think is completely incorrect. If you apply the Simon test, was the act reasonably incident thereto, or is it so substantial a deviation to constitute a break and create an independent formidable hazard? I think that clearly what we have here is a substantial deviation. The appellant wants to focus on the time of the deviation or the distance of the deviation, but I think that in Simon, for example, I believe that the injured employee went 30 feet and then was playing with a fan and was injured in doing that. The distance isn't the issue. The time isn't the issue. Maybe it's a factor, but this is a deviation of purpose. His purpose was to show Mr. Tilley, and I think it was completely personal and for his own entertainment. My firework is louder than yours, or look how loud this firework that I have to show you is, as opposed to trying to foster some kind of relationship between the two of them. Also, I think that the appellant is saying, wait a minute, this is an erosion of the personal comfort doctrine somehow, because this is just a, you know, if we do this, then how can an employee stop work and go to the bathroom or get something to drink? This isn't the same thing. Bringing a firework onto the premises and lighting it is not the same as personal comfort. This is something that the appellant did for his own entertainment and nothing more. I think that if we do look at Varela, and you know, this court thinks that this should be analyzed under Varela, I think the most significant factor is whether the incident created a significant risk of injury. We're talking about, the appellant said, for example, as he arrived, he had to grab the firework from under the seat of his truck. Well, why'd you keep it there? Well, because it's dangerous to have it anywhere else. He went to the doorway of the warehouse to light it. Why not light it in the middle of the warehouse? The appellant makes sort of an unsubstantiated claim that, oh, fireworks aren't that dangerous. Seven-year-olds light them unsupervised all the time. You know, I would disagree with that, and I think that the trial court did as well. This
wasn't there evidence that Mr. Tilley declined to light it because the fuse was short?
And I think that's another point I want to get to about the facts not being in dispute. I think one of the biggest facts in dispute was whether the wick was an inch long or a quarter of an inch long. That was, the appellant testified that the wick was longer, and Mr. Tilley testified that the wick was a quarter of an inch long and said, I'm not going to light that. So I think that the fact that the court clearly found Mr. Tilley's testimony more credible and found that the artillery had a quarter of an inch wick, again, it's a finding of fact. So to talk about the wick length with all of you, to talk about whether this was whether this was the appellant trying to foster some kind of relationship, that's been decided at the trial level. Those issues have been decided, and what this court needs to do is to decide whether, based on the facts that were found, they were appropriately applied. I think that the court, the biggest issue in, or the biggest factor in making the determination about willful negligence was the wick length. I think that the appellant talks about he's been lighting fireworks for 30 years. He buys $3,000 to $5,000 worth of fireworks a year, so he's this aficionado. And he's trying to impress a fellow aficionado who says, I'm not going to light that because the wick is too short. And I think that that's where the willful negligence turns, for him to know, boy, someone who is an aficionado just like me isn't willing to do this. And so by lighting that firework himself, he took that chance and with that risk and took that risk.
If we would agree with you that Simon test is appropriate and wasn't met, didn't arise out of employment, was personal, do we even need to address the willful negligence finding?
No, and I think the court was just addressing that. I don't think the trial court needed to address it either, but the trial court did, and I don't think it's error for the trial court to do that.
It was an alternative means of resolving the issue.
Yes.
In case on appeal, we might disagree with the first alternative, right?
Right.
Right.
And I think the trial court could have said, because I find this didn't arise out of employment, I'm not going to address the remaining issues. I think the court could have done that, and we would be in the same position. But the court chose to comment on it.
So Mr. Weber's argument is largely focused on this horseplay in playing with fireworks helps grow his relationships to continue having this business. So if he had taken, instead of a firework, and he brought a bottle of wine with him to give to Mr. Tilley, and he dropped it on his toe and bashed his toe, would that, you know, fall into being a covered injury?
Well, I think that there's a question of whether he was truly fostering a relationship or he wasn't.
But you would agree that is something to be considered?
Yes, I do. But I think in the horseplay analysis, as I said earlier, I think the important thing in the horseplay analysis here is that that the activity carried a significant risk of injury. So carrying a bottle of wine versus bringing an artillery shell and lighting it, I think those are distinguishable.
And bringing the fire shell, the firework itself isn't the issue. They could have looked at it and talked about it, but it was the lighting of it that was the
problem. Well,
that substantially deviated then.
I think there were, I believe, three cases that were addressed, that older cases in the brief of the appellant, and we distinguished those, and we did because those situations were where a firework was found on the premises as opposed to being brought in and actually lit by the appellant.
You're talking about the out-of-state cases, the New York case,
yes,
and the Florida case.
And again, the work comp court is a court of statutory jurisdiction, so we don't really know what the statutory scheme is in those states and what the case law is in those states and whether it's similar to Nebraska or not. But my point, the distinguishing factor in those is they were discovered as opposed to being brought onto the premises.
My recollection is that at least in, I think, one New York case, it was actually a company fishing trip. So it was designed to be a social activity with a work purpose.
Correct.
So that would be distinguishable here, right, as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There was no time for rebuttal. Is that correct? Thank you. Thank you both for being here. The case is submitted. You are excused.